If you hear this bass line, you know that this chorus can't be far behind. Working 9 to 5. Or if I give you this guitar lick, you know that we are about to get an earful of one of the greatest country songs ever written. Jolene, 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 Jolene. Dolly Parton's America is the subject of a new podcast by Jad Abumrad. He is the creator of the hit show Radiolab from WNYC, and he described one of the images that made him think this was a subject worth exploring: the crowd at a Dolly Parton concert.
You're standing there, and you've got evangelical church ladies standing next to men in drag, standing next to guys in trucker hats. All of these different communities on either sides of the, quote, culture wars, all standing together, shoulder to shoulder, singing the same song.
In the first episode of the podcast, Jad talks about the tension between the musical genius Dolly Parton and the caricature of Dolly, who constantly cracks jokes about her cleavage and her hair. Also, we should warn you, some language in this conversation might not be suitable for all listeners.
I don't quite know how to reconcile them, but it does strike you when you look back at 1960s Dolly and 1970s Dolly, and you look at the number of songs that she's writing. Particularly, I mean, if you look at Dolly around 1972, 73, 74, I mean, to say she was prolific doesn't even capture it. She is writing some of the greatest songs in pop music.
Yeah.
She's just, they're falling out of her head.
Like on the back of a napkin, she's writing.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you know, she told me in one interview, and she wasn't sure if this is true, but she may have written I Will Always Love You and Jolene on the same night. Whew. I Will Always Love You is a song that hit number one 3 consecutive decades, almost did it a fourth time. Jolene is a song that was translated into, I think, 40 different languages, and there are 200 different covers. And that happened on the same night?
So why does somebody who can do that need to be a caricature, need to be a parody? Is it just the reality of existing as a woman in America and in Nashville in that time?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's certainly what she said to me. If you consider Dolly in 1967, when she really hits the scene as the, quote, girl singer
nice job,
on the Porter Mac. Wagoner
Thanks.
Show.
This is the pretty little lady that's with us each week, Miss Dolly Parton.
At that time, the female singer was sort of a decorative aspect of the male show.
Mm-hmm.
And so that didn't leave a lot of place for someone like Dolly. So she perhaps had to sort of play the male game for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she would tell you, as she famously says, that it's just what made her comfortable. It's just how she wanted to look.
Yeah. The first episode of the podcast has already sparked a vigorous discussion about feminism and what it means to call yourself a feminist, because in your conversations with Dolly, she really bristled at that label.
Do you think of yourself as a feminist?
No, I do not.
She shot that right down.
I think of myself as a woman in business. I love men.
Even though her actions and her song lyrics and her life are embraced by so many feminists, right?
Yeah, that was a real surprise to me. She is talked about openly as one of the great feminist figures of our time, and so I just figured she thought of herself that way.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly she has a complicated relationship to that term, as do many people. And so, yeah, it was interesting to see the ways in which she very much walks the walk but doesn't quite want to talk the talk.
Yeah.
Because she knows how that might be perceived by certain segments of her audience.
Yeah. How many hours did you spend with her? She gave you a lot of access.
I think we counted up 12.
Wow.
I think 12 over 2 years, yeah.
And this is a woman who has been interviewed hundreds of times or thousands of times over decades. Did you feel going into those conversations like there were a lot of questions she had never been asked?
Well, I think there was a moment somewhere as we kind of went to interview 2 and 3 and began to ask her questions about some of her early music, which no one ever asks her about. In her songwriting, which very few people ask her about.
Oh, I used to write a lot of sad-ass songs.
She describes them as sad-ass
songs.
Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing. 1960s Dolly is just an ocean of pain in her songs. Mostly songs like witnessing the female pain around her, I think, in her community growing up.
Death, miscarriages, abandonment, things like that.
Yeah, really dark stuff. Tonight, while standing on the bridge, my heart is beating wild to think that you could leave me here with our unborn child. It it's a really interesting, almost musical form of journalism that you're seeing in that early work.
Closer to the edge, here is where it started, and here is where I'll end it.
And I think when she saw that we were taking her really, really seriously as a songwriter and as a person who is one of the great creative spirits of the last 60 years, I think she was willing to sort of answer almost any question.
Well, you know me. You just ask and I'll just tell it as I know it or as I feel it, what I want you to hear.
I've only heard the first couple episodes of the series, but it seems to present this big question of whether there is some kind of secret sauce in Dolly Parton that could solve the problems that face America today. Did you feel like you came away with an answer to that question?
No, that's sort of the question that never resolves for me. The image that runs through the entire series is what it is like to be at a Dolly concert. The fact that that space even exists in America right now is heartening to me. But, you know, to argue the other side, I mean, are these people really talking to each other? Are they arguing about politics and coming to some new understanding? Probably not. But they're in the same space and they're being deeply polite. And so that feels like something to me.
Does she feel like she's created that, or is she just kind of fortunate to be in it? Does it feel precarious to her? Did you get a sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's so deeply apolitical, at least in what she says, that I think she protects that space by choosing not to speak on certain topics. And I don't think she's avoiding something so much as she's sort of putting her foot down in a different spot.
Did you start this process with a favorite Dolly song, and did it change over the course of the journey?
If you had just grabbed me off the street and said, quick, in 2 seconds, name a Dolly song, 9 to 5 would have been it.
Okay.
Now, having done a very deep dive through her entire discography, I gotta say that my favorite Dolly deep cut is Mule Skinner Blues. It's sort of the, like, perfect pivot point from the, quote, sad-ass songs period of the 60s.
Well, good morning.
To the kind of percussive, badass Dolly period of the 70s, and it's a little bit before Dolly crosses over and becomes kind of a global pop star. She's still kind of in that country music mode, but she's trying out new sounds, she's trying out new bass lines. The drums are like really forward in the mix in a way that I find cool. Oh my God, that song is just fire.
Thank you for the podcast. I've really enjoyed listening to it so far, and I'm excited to hear the rest of it.
Thank you.
Jad Abumrad is the host and creator of the new podcast, Dolly Parton's America, from WNYC. You're late.